myself and being kind and being truthful and so on, you know. I don't think that I had to give that up when I took exclusive shelter of Krishna. That's the wonderful thing, and that's what I like best about this Krishna religion, is that I want to have, like my guru, exclusive devotion, Krishna and Krishna alone, nobody else. But you know, if you do that, then Krishna promises, well, I preserve what you have. So, you know, whatever love I had for Jesus and for God, you know, that I was taught, you know, from my diapers and in school and high school, you know, don't you think that Krishna will preserve that? I think so. So, you know, my exclusive devotion to Krishna, or my attempt to follow in the footsteps of a real lover of Krishna who has a, you know, exclusive devotion for Krishna, well, I think that I'm satisfied that my, you know, upbringing and love for Jesus and God the Father, it's still there. Krishna will, you know, promise, you know, I preserve what you have. So that's why I like Krishna consciousness best, because, you know, I can still say, I think that I'm a devotee of Jesus also. Okay, so that was the three things I wanted to say. Remember, I was talking about, first of all, resurrection of the dead. It's Easter, you know. And then I talked about idols. You know, sometimes the Christians, with, you know, with the colonial period, you know, they were, you know, you have to become fulfilled by Jesus' gospel and give up these idols, you know. But no. We can have our pride in our, you know, exclusive devotion to our particular Ishta Devata, you know, our particular form of God, which we are attracted to from our parents and grandparents, or from our spiritual master, or, you know, from our own inclination. So that's the idols. And then the third thing was about how you can be exclusively devoted to Krishna, and at the same time, be also, you know, true to yourself, and true to your upbringing, and be respectful to other religions. Hare Krishna, thank you very much for patiently listening to my ranting and raving here. Any questions or comments? Yes. Here's another old
I just heard something. When you said Krishna consciousness is my favorite religion, can you hear? And I heard a voice here saying, it's not a religion. Could you comment on that?
Yeah, right. No, it's dharma. You know, this is a natural characteristic, you know, your intrinsic nature. That can't be, you know, you can't switch that. You know, you are what you are. You know, you have your DNA, I guess the scientists would say. You know, your karma, you know, it's there, you know, you can't deny it. Of course, Krishna can change your karma, you know, if he wants, because he, but you, normally you can't do anything about it. You have, you know, we're born with a psychophysical nature, you know. You can't get very far if you don't admit that. You know, we have cultural baggage, you know, our parents and our grandparents and our country, and we have our name, which is a particular, you know. So, you know, we're dharma there. But religion, that means, if and according to, you know, Prabhupada, I don't know if I quote, it's a kind of faith, you know. You may one day decide to be a Hindu, and then another day you want to become a Christian. Or vice versa, a Christian might want to become a Hindu or something. But you know, let me tell you one thing, is that when I was a small boy there in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, I never thought that when I become big, I'm going to become a Hindu. You know, I never thought like that. So you know, this dress though, you know, it looks like, you know, Hindu apparel here with, you know, everything. But that's an external religion in the deepest sense. It, you know, it's not my favorite religion, it's my, you know, dharma. Is that okay?
still hear him mumbling something.
Mumbling?
I mean,
yeah, for sure.
To ask.
Begin with the root.
Yes.
The root said in the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is the perfection of religion.
Yeah, that's the truth. What's that, Dharma? It's the second verse, right? How's it start?
Yeah.
Raja Vidya, Raja Guya, Pali Trava, Ida Bhutama, Pratyaksha Bhagavam Dharma, Suzukam Kartavavyayam. Yeah. Yeah, it's the perfection of religion. Yeah, it's Dharma. Yeah, sometimes, you know, religion is certainly, you know, if you ask a professor at the university, can you define religion? I mean, he's going to have a hard time. You know, it's a notoriously difficult word to pin down to, you know, they write big books like this, you know, academics, professors write big books like this, just saying what is the definition of the word religion? But it comes, you know, originally, etymologically, you know, it comes from two words. One is, I think it was Cicero, you know, the old Latin scholar, and religo, really, it means to glue two things together. And the other one was another Latin scholar, and it meant to tradition, you know, or tradere, you know, how do you say that in English, you know, to carry over, you know, from one generation to another. That's originally what it meant, religion. In one sense, it's like the word yoga. You know, yoga means to join, literally, to join, you know, our consciousness with the Supreme through, you know, different angas and different types of yoga. But religion, it is the perfection of religion. Dharma. Yeah. Raja Vidya, Raja Guya, Pavitram Itamutamam, Pratyaksha Bhagavan Dharmyam. It's the, you know, the perfection of religion. So, you know. Yes.
I spoke to Ajit about this.
Yeah.
And he said that he's one of the professors.
Very scholarly. He's, you know, together with Sri Krishna Swami, founder of the ISKCON movement in Sweden. And he went on to doctorate in religious studies, in religious pluralism, and he's been at the Stockholm University. And he, together with Pranava, arranged for a conference on Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada in a historical and philosophical context last, you know, September, when it was exactly 50 years from Prabhupada's first visit. Go ahead.
He said that actually religion as faith system came very late and came from Europe just a few hundred years ago.
Yeah.
And that before that it was more like a way of life and a philosophy, you know, practices that you do, spiritual practices like that, different schools like that you have in India, you know.
Yeah.
They didn't have that kind of homogeneous, what do you call it, religion institutional thing back then.
Yeah.
It seems to be very much of a European invention.
Right. Eurocentrism, you know, when Europe was the, you know, the colonial rulers of the whole world, you know, practically. And then they instituted this idea of belief, you know, orthodox, you have to believe something. But you know, there's also orthopraxis, you know, to do the right thing. And, you know, like, I remember my supervisor when I was studying to be a teacher of religion at the university here. She had been to India. She's a Christian now. She's actually a priest. And she said, she asked some of the people, you know, do you believe in reincarnation? And they were like, you know, they couldn't really relate to the idea, you know, do we believe in it, you know. But the fact is, if somebody's, you know, sees something that belongs to someone else, mainly, you know, popular, correct me if I'm wrong, but many people in India would think, oh, I can't take it because if I take it, I'm going to get punished in my next life. You know, I'll have to pay it back in my next life because it's not mine. You know, it belongs to somebody else. You know, so it's just ingrained. It's just praxis. You know, it's like what you, how you live. It's not a theory. Yeah, Mataji.
Yeah, I'm also thinking it's a word that can be used in different ways. Like we have the Sanskrit term atma, it means the self, but sometimes it means the body, and sometimes it means the mind. So with religion also, religiare, as you were saying, reconnect, to connect again with the supreme, that is one meaning. One meaning is social, where you come from, where you're born. So it depends a little bit on how you use the word. But a general sense seems to be the interface between culture and spirituality.
The interface between culture and spirituality. Okay, there we have, the ladies in the ISKCON movement, they also philosophize. You know, they're not, expected to, they're expected to assimilate and to present Krishna consciousness according to their own realizations or welcome.
Because Prabhupada was very strict with respecting all the bona fide religions, because it is a path you connect to God in service. I've heard him say verbatim, Islam and Christianity, it is bhakti, because that is the path you do. But I could see how someone would prefer a certain cultural expression of that. And I came to Krishna consciousness after being a little bit in touch with other religions and not feeling that I really had I didn't understand how I would fit there, how it would connect with me. Not from disrespect, but just I just couldn't see it. And here, I got a service, I got to clean the temple, I got to practice, I got to chant Hare Krishna, I got knowledge, I got the Bhagavad Gita, and I got association.
What about
prasadam? Yeah, that came a little later, I think. They gave me cold Sunday feast. I came too late for the Sunday feast, but it was okay. It was okay. I started to appreciate it more later. So in one sense, maybe I was attracted to the cultural presentation, but maybe it was just Krishna's kindness to let me connect with him in that way. It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell.
Right, thank you. Yeah, it's cultural, it's social, it's spiritual, it's like all, we can't, they used to,